You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily podcast on the Toronto Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to Locked On Blue Jays, your daily dose of Toronto Blue Jays talk directly into your ears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Ryan Andrews from JaysFromTheCouch.com, back for another week to just sort through the roller coaster that is this Toronto Blue Jays season. We're going to talk about some of the things that emerged from the series against Tampa Bay. Some good, most of it bad. And for once, it's not just the offense that we have to talk about. So we'll get to that in the latter half of this episode. But we have to start with the news that, you know, a fair amount of Blue Jays fans had been calling for even before what happened against Tampa Bay. And that is the demotion of Lourdes Gurriel Jr. It was made official today that he is joining Buffalo. And in his place, Eric Sogard is coming up. He is going to make appearances for this team. As much as I said, don't worry about him. The elder goggles will be up. Ryan Borucki was moved to the 60-day DL to make room for Sogard, as kind of predicted with the news last week that Borucki had some setbacks in his rehab and that his elbow was being reevaluated. So no real surprise there, at least on the Borucki front. And it keeps Julian Merriweather and David Phelps in play if the Blue Jays do end up doing something with either of them. But yeah, obviously the big story is Gurriel being demoted. Now, we checked the calendar, and he is technically eligible to come up for his bobblehead day. So we'll see if that actually happens. I'm not hopeful on that. But yeah, why did it happen? Especially considering the bat was starting to come around a little bit. Well, it was pretty obvious to everyone why it happened. And it's just he mentally isn't there. And you could see that at the plate, at his at-bats. And like he's, like we said, it looked like it was turning around a little bit with the bat. Like he lucked into some good hits. Maybe, I don't want to say lucked, but it was kind of like, you know, that blind dog finding a bone, or like just someone who was skating by on natural talent running into a couple things. And It still didn't seem like he had a plan. He definitely hasn't had a plan at second base. That was clear. Like he's been making these awkward throws all year. And the one against Tampa Bay was just a nail in the coffin. Just it, you wonder if it's a lack of focus, if it's just the muscle memory's not letting him make those short throws. But I mean, Justin Smoke can only do so much at first base. He's not Stretch Armstrong over there. He's not Mr. Fantastic. He can't grab everything. So you got to put it close. And just Lourdes was unable to even get it close. And it kind of forced the Blue Jays' hand a little bit, especially with the optioning of Richard Urania, which, I mean, we can have our own discussion about that, about how sending one of the two guys who's actually batting above 333 on the roster, sending them down to AAA is kind of counterproductive when you have an offense that is bad, as the Blue Jays are. But you can argue you're not really losing anything offensively with Lourdes Gurriel going down. He's sub 200. He's batting 175. He has a slugging percentage of 275. So it's not like he's really driving the ball right now. So what does it mean for the Blue Jays going forward now that Lourdes is back in Buffalo to kind of work on stuff? Well, it means that for the time being, Alan Hansen is going to get the run at second base, at least until Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is promoted and either Hansen or Eric Sogard is DFA'd. I don't think we care really at this point, but at that time, you would expect Brandon Drury to shift over to second. So it's not like there's just no plan with this move. It was clear that this was a long time coming, just the way he was behaving, the way he was approaching baseball so far this season, something had to be done. And if this wakes Lourdes Gurriel Jr. up, then ultimately that's great. And if not, then you have to start to wonder if he's a part of the long-term solution for the Blue Jays when the other prospects are coming up. Because we talked about this a little bit in the Jays from the Couch Slack. And one of the writers, Roy, brought up the fact that Lourdes doesn't really project to be like a middle infielder. He projects more as a third baseman, or more likely in his mind, as an outfielder, which, you know, then he can use the leverage he has to kind of fire off rockets. But he's got to be a lot more accurate than he's been showing at the major league level, because, I mean, what good is a cannon if you're firing it into the stands? So it's going to be up to him to really determine what his role is going to be on this club, because, again, there are people who are willing to be versatile who will make a run at that spot. Kevin Biggio is now his teammate in Buffalo, but he's his competition at major league level. Like, Kevin wants one of those outfield slots. There's Kevin Smith, who can take a middle infield spot away. There are people who are coming, and if Lourdes can't get his act together and figure out what he wants to be at the major league level, then he's going to be on the outside looking in and probably playing for Miami in 2 years, because that's where you send all your problems. You send them to play for the Marlins. So we'll talk about that other Florida team that the Blue Jays had to deal with on the weekend in a little minute. But first, we need to talk about the sponsor of this podcast. Y'all know it by now, because it starts with the same four letters as the team you're following. It's Blue Chew. Yay. That's blue, like the color blue. It's the first chewable with that same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it's going to work for you. It's chewable, so you can take it whenever you need to, even if you just ate like a Thanksgiving dinner or something. Works twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever you need to. It's prescribed online, so it ships straight to your door in a discreet little package, so, you know, you don't have to go see your doctor and tell them you're having problems. You don't have to go to the pharmacy and get the stink eye from the old ladies who are buying their Metamucil. And just, there's no awkwardness, which I think a lot of people want to avoid awkwardness in their lives. So they're made in the USA. And since Blue Chew prepares and ships directly to you, it's actually cheaper than, you know, buying pills from a pharmacy. And right now there's a special deal going on where if you visit BlueChew.com, you get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code MLB. You just got to pay the $5 shipping. So again, that's BlueChew.com. Blue is in Blue Jays. Promo code MLB. You get to try it for free. It's a better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, so let's talk about some of the other things we learned from that Tampa Bay series. Starting with the fact that this offense can occasionally do things, even if it's not the wonderful bit of small ball that we saw against Boston last week. It still is capable of doing things. It just is not capable of doing them when it would be beneficial, Let's say that. The Blue Jays actually got a first inning run, which I think that's the first time that's happened all season. I mean, I did not double check that, but they actually gave Marcus Stroman something to work with. It's just Stroman didn't really have it either. And officially, they were all unearned runs off of Stroman. What with the error by Gurriel and then the error by Stroman himself, which I've never understood that. If a pitcher makes an error, shouldn't the runs they give up then be considered earned since it was their fault? That kind of baffles me. But Stroman, much like Sanchez, he rang up his pitch count. He was all over the strike zone. The four walks were absolutely killer for the Blue Jays on that day. And let's not get started about Trent Thornton. Trent Thornton was, he was just rocked by this Rays team. Austin Meadows had an absolute field day with him. But, you know, I'm going to try and be positive about what I saw. And there are some positive things to take away from that pitching staff. Starting with the debut of Clay Buchholz, who looked exactly like he did in Arizona last season. He's not the flamethrower that he was with the Red Sox. He's not that guy. At 34, you're not that guy. But he came in with a plan last season, worked it to perfection with Arizona, and it looks like he's going to do similar things with the Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays are definitely going to take, you know, six innings of one-run ball every night. Because theoretically, if you have an offense that can actually score in the first six innings, that's usually a recipe for success when it comes to a pitcher. But it's been interesting watching this evolution of Clay Buchholz as a pitcher. Because like we said, the velocity is down from his peak. He used to be able to hit mid-90s with his fastball. He's not coming close to that anymore. He's down at like 90 now. But you see him working all five pitches. You see him working with the sinker, with the cutter, with the curve, with everything he's got in his arsenal. And the velocity's still not there yet. He was down like 2 miles per hour on his fastballs when compared to last year. 2 miles on his changeup, too. So his velocity isn't there yet. But the fact that he was still able to pitch smart and work around these guys and still get the outs he needed when he needed them, that's the kind of thing that needs to be imparted on these younger pitchers on the Blue Jays staff. That's something he can give Trent Thornton, who has a similar arsenal, and teach him how to use. Now, can he do that for some of the bullpen arms? Because some of the bullpen arms were disgustingly bad in that Tampa series. Javi Guerra just blew up. Just figures we praise him too much. He has to remind us why he pitched in Miami the last two seasons, because he does things like that. And then just Tim Mayza. I'm sorry, Tim, but a lefty who can't get lefties out is not going to have success at the major league level. And we wondered if this lack of organizational depth for the Blue Jays when it came to left-handers would bite them. And because Tim Mayza was the default lefty, it froze him in a position where he doesn't have much choice, and it was not good. Like, the inning he threw on Sunday was just, there's no way to say it. It was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. And it makes you wonder if the Blue Jays don't have to look at other lefty options that are available to try and figure it out. They have bullpen reinforcements coming. Ryan Tepera is supposed to be coming. David Phelps wasn't put on the 60-day DL, so they have to think he's coming at some point in May. So they have these arms coming to replace these guys, but they don't really have that option for Mesa unless they want to make Thomas Pannone a permanent lefty, which, can we shout out Thomas Pannone for a second, because he threw an immaculate inning against the Rays when he came out in relief of Marcus Stroman. The fifth inning when he got Avi Garcia, Brendan Lau, and Daniel Robinson on, or Robertson, sorry, he would be the name I mess up there. Got him on 9 pitches, 3 straight strikeouts. Third Blue Jay to do that, other than a couple of all-stars in Roger Clemens and Steve Delabar, which, I mean, all-star is such a loose term, but still, 89th pitcher in MLB history to do that. That's a heck of an accomplishment. And for Pannone, who's really reasserted himself after a bad spot start, has potentially taken over from Tim Mesa as the go-to lefty in that pen. And I would not be surprised if Mesa actually gets optioned at some point here soon, potentially to make room for Ryan Tepera, because we thought that maybe it would be one of the veterans who gets DFA'd, maybe Daniel Hudson, maybe Buera, to make room for him. But if Pannone can be that lefty guy and come in and just dominate the way he did, and he has length too, so they can use him for more than an inning if they need to. What Thomas Pannone gives the Blue Jays is an out from Tim Mesa, and I would not be surprised if Mesa was optioned in the next week to make room for Ryan Tepera. And before we go, I want to give credit to Elvis Luciano for a perfect outing against the Rays on the weekend. First MLB outing where he didn't walk anyone, which, they're in the claps. No, he looked good. He hit the strike zone with 14 of his 19 pitches. He gave up a hit, but then got the double play that he turned to get out of it. You're seeing the potential a little bit there. You're seeing why the Blue Jays really want to keep this guy. And yeah, he's not going to make appearances if it's not like blowout situations or just kind of, you know, throwing him to the wolves, so to speak. But it was a good bounce back outing from the one he had on Friday. And he showed what he can be when he's on. And the Blue Jays love what they're seeing when he's on. Is he going to be that starter that helps bring the Blue Jays a World Series? Not in the next couple years, but the experience he's gaining now. And then he'll be able to turn that once he goes back down to New Hampshire next year, or goes to Buffalo next year. You'll be able to turn that around. And that's something that the Blue Jays can hold on to. Show that Elvis Luciano is not just a wasted roster space for now, that he can be productive. So that was good to see. I give Elvis credit for that. So that will bring us to the end of this podcast, and not a moment too soon, because my voice is terrible right now. I blame the rain, I think. It's been raining all day here, and it's supposed to rain for the rest of the week. So we'll see. We'll see. I'll have to buy some tea or something. But anyway, if you're not subscribed to this podcast, I don't know why, but you can do so on Himalaya. You can do it on Spotify, on Stitcher, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, you can subscribe here. And then you can take your device in your car and tell your device, hey, play Locked On Blue Jays. And it'll do that while you're driving, which I usually listen to podcasts while I'm driving anyway. So it's a good way to do that. Follow me on Twitter at NeoAC18. It's NEOAC18. Follow the podcast at Locked On Jays. And yeah, I will be more active on Twitter than I was yesterday. Just a heads up, Sundays are going to be no-go Twitter zones for me until, you know, Game of Thrones is over. So just a heads up, I will not be interacting with people when spoilers are abounding. So until next time, which should be tomorrow, I've been Ryan Andrews. Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode of Locked On Blue Jays, and y'all take care.